study his characteristics. Amen. And then I try to emulate them. Because then I feel like the church will be more comfortable with me. So when I thought about Brother Steve, I dyed my hair gray. Bought me a pair of glasses. Amen. And gained 20 pounds. Amen. So what do you think? Yeah. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, for a few moments. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Appreciate all the preaching. And everybody knows that Jackie is my nephew. And early on, we plugged up together, and I took him around everywhere I was preaching. He worked for himself, so when he wanted to take off, he'd just go. But then I got to noticing there's having him. I said, now listen, I don't mind you going. But I said, when they start saying, get the nephew, he don't stutter. I said, now you're in trouble. But didn't he do a wonderful job? If you knew where he came from as I know. I used to pray for my family, still do. But it seemed like early on there was no move in the family. Nobody was getting saved. And I was burying brother after brother as he talked of war, loss. Cirrhosis of the liver, three of them, different things of that nature. My dad, I remember coming down off that hill one day, broken, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. I hear preachers talk that have gotten saved, and they'll have brothers, and they seem like a whole family gets saved. And I said, we haven't seen anything, me and Joe. And for my oldest brother, Jack, the only way that you could describe him, and others have, he was wicked. And my prayer for him is, I said, Lord, if you could save Jack, it'd be like the parting, it'd be greater than the parting of the Red Sea. Amen. And guess what? The Lord saved Jack. Amen. But at the same time, he was a saving Jackie in prison. He got out of prison. They both got baptized on the same day. Amen. Ain't that a miracle? And now here's Jackie and his family. And there are, as it has turned out, six preachers in the family. With a dad that never entered a church door that I know of. And out of all of the youngins and grandyoungins, my nephew done a little book on it, those who have professed Christ. Now, we don't know all the ins and outs of that. Right. Most of them show it. Right. Has been over 60. Amen. I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Still in the saving business. Amen. And I praise his name for it. Of course, I've got two sons that are preachers, and thank the Lord for what he's done in my family, too. Aren't you glad for his workings? Amen. That just keeps on working. I did not know what Jackie was preaching. He did not know what I was going to speak on. But it's going to be sort of close as far as the emphasis of sight. I want us to look in chapter number 12. We'll scoot back up to verse 31 of chapter 11. The Bible said, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Cana, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. They went and they came, emphasizing Abraham and Lot. Drop down, if you will, to verse 5 of chapter number 12. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. I'm talking about this matter of goings and comings. Went and came. Chapter number 13, verse 1. And Abraham went up out of the land of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them. Verse 7, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle, the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Verse 8, Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Interested in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land and the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. One last verse that I'll read, you won't have to turn, Luke 17. The Bible said, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day Lot went, talking about the goings and comings, went and came. Out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Over 200 verses in the Bible contains these two words within them, went and came. Abraham and Lot is having their goings and comings. We could take each character of the Bible, such as David. Even when he slew Goliath, the Bible said he went and he came. Elisha went and came. All the way through, as we noticed in Ruth's life, she went and she came. Jesus came from heaven, and the Bible said he went back to the heavens. But this is not only true for the characters of the Bible, it's true for your life and my life. That all of life is made up of the goings and comings, from dust to dust. But it is here that I want to emphasize, as far as Abraham and Lot is concerned, it's the goings and comings, notice how I word this, and the view along the way. Because in our journeys, thank God, we have been gifted with sight. One of the most precious things to be able to do is to enjoy the journey because of the sight. And it is here that we see Abraham and Lot as they are journeying along, and both of them have these sights. Both of them are able to view some things. And I want to say thank God for eyesight. I'm glad for the things that I've been privileged to see along the journey. We have noticed through the preaching already those spiritual things, but I'm glad for the physical things that we're able to see. Esther Rabbi and I have had many travels as a result of the ministry, been able to see many beautiful sights and things, not only in America, but in other countries such as Israel and Egypt and Greece and Ireland and so on. Just made a trip out west and saw Monument Valley and the National Park of the Arches and the Million Dollar Highway. We've been privileged to see Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon, the Redwood National Forest, Glacier National Park, Yellowstone, and on and on and on. I'm glad that I'm able to see some things. Thank God you were able to see your wife before you married her. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I used to pastor this young man, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Preacher," said, "I'm going on a blind date Saturday." I said, "Well, okay." 2 weeks passed, and he never mentioned it, so I thought I would. I said, "Brother, how was the blind date?" He said, "Well, it'd been a lot better if I'd have been blind." I'm glad for our eyesight, and what a great blessing it is. But you're going to have to be careful in the decisions you make and the directions that you go in if they're based upon sight, as it was for Abraham, as it was for Lot. Because many times our vision can be cloudy. Our focus can be blurred. Perception can be more deception. Sometimes we may have tunnel vision. And I'm going to tell you, if any man ever needed to visit the optometrist, Lot did before he made his choice out of the views that are along the way. I want to just mention three or four things about the views along the way as far as the goings and comings and the things that we see as we progress and as we venture. I'm going to zero in on Lot, but I'll bring Abraham into it also. Four simple steps and thoughts. First of all, what I want to say is that if Lot, in his journeys of going and coming, is going to make this ultimate decision that is going to affect his whole life, his family, and his future, don't you think, first of all, he ought to have seen how God saw it? Amen. He should have stopped for a moment and said, "Now, Lord, I'm thinking about going to a place that I see way down there. I'm looking at it from here, and I don't know anything about it. I was just wondering, what do you see versus what I am seeing?" First thing you ought to do, no matter what decision you make, is find out how God sees it. He may not see it like you see it. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to see." We understand that God sees perfectly, does he not? Yes, sir. God sees the whole picture. He sees completely. He's able to understand. He sees judiciously. He knows because he is able to see. I like the song that said, "Open mine eyes that eye may see. But the question would be is, how in the world is Lot, who is human, going to be able to see as God, who is divine? I think there's two ways in this text. The scripture lets us know that there is a word already about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible tells us that in verse 13, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I understand that Lot didn't have a Bible, but God can still speak. And there was already a word about that. And he could have come to God before he made this move along life's journey by his sight and said, God, how do you see this thing? And he could have got a word from God. How important it is that all of our journeying is guided by the Word of God. And aren't you glad you've got these 66 books filled with the truth and mind of God to guide us and direct us along the way? Do not know where I would be right now if it hadn't have been for this book. The man who was preaching, Brother Jim Fallure, when I heard the gospel, I was saved in that little alley, but he preached the gospel. That's the church I went back to, a little storefront church. But one of the things that he emphasized was the importance of reading the Word of God. That got into me as soon as I got saved. I figured if he was going to read a book, best thing to do is go to the beginning, read all the way to the end. So as a 14-year-old boy, I got this Bible and I started in Genesis. And I paced myself and read through Revelation. But I figured I didn't get it all. So I went back to Genesis and I read it through to Revelation. And can I say to you that every year I still go back to Genesis and I read it through to Revelation, including the study. And you say, why? Because I want to see things like God sees them. I want in my view a long life's journey as I'm looking. Instead of being enticed and drawn away and blindsided, I want to see it like God sees it. If he's going to make this move, the first thing he ought to have done is seen how God saw it. There was a word. Not only was there a word, there was a way. Verse 18 said, concerning Abraham, he built an altar. He was always building altars. But the reason why he was building altars is he is wanting to talk to God. He wanted to hear from God, and he wanted God to hear from him. There's two ways to keep your vision clear. Let God speak to you, and you speak back to God. An interchange with heaven, a view from above. Thank God I feel like I get some views from above. And they help me while I'm down here. I can't see way out there. And I cannot see what is way out there. But I'm glad that from above, God sees it all. And all I need is a word. And all I need is a worship. All I need is a book. And all I need is an altar. And it's gotten me alone for all these years. Hey, young person, before you make the important decisions of life that you're about to make and you're going to have to make, first find out how God sees it. How's God looking at that young man you're hanging out with? How's God looking at that young woman that you're caught up with? How's God looking at that move or that college or that place? What's God think about it? What's God think about it? And I'm glad we can have the mind of God. Lord, if you're going to make this move based upon the views along the journey, find out how God sees it. Second thing I want to say to you, I need my water again. Second thing I'm going to say to you, if Lot's going to make this choice along the goings and comings and went and came simply upon what he has seen, he not only ought to see how God sees it, but it'd be a good idea if he'd find out how Uncle Abraham's seeing it. Wouldn't that be good? Abraham is a friend of God. He is the father of our faith. He has walked with God as Lot witnessed it for the times of which the Bible said that he went and came with him. Don't you think it's a good idea to find somebody that you know knows God? And say, Mama, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? Daddy, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? Preacher, I'd just like to know how you feel about it. I'm going to tell you, it'll save you a lot of heartache if you'll trust those that trust God and get their input into your life. Now, I'm going to say up front, I do not believe that Abraham, as far as I can tell, knew any more about Sodom and Gomorrah than what he did. He hadn't been there either. I don't think he just wanted to have an answer off the cuff. It's better not to say anything if you don't know something. And we harm our abilities to help people by just giving them an answer because we think we ought to have an opinion about the matter. Abraham's never been there, and I can hear him say to his nephew, well, son, I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything about that place. But Abraham lived by a principle. And what he could do is take those principles and present them to Lot and then let him make the decision. He could have said to Lot, I ain't never been there, but what I want to ask you is, who pointed that out to you? Yes, sir. Yeah. Who showed you and caused you to focus in that direction? And Lot would have said, I don't know. I'm just looking for a good place to get a job and move my family. And it looks real good down here. He said, well, now, son, I'd be careful about that. I don't know that I'd ever move to a place of which God hadn't brought to my attention. Hey, I don't know I'd ever date a boy that God hadn't brought to my attention. I don't know that I'd ever date a girl if I was you that God hadn't brought to my attention. And I'm glad for my wife, and I preached it here and I ain't going to preach it now, but I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy, God brought her to my attention and showed her to me. Don't just be running off in some direction based upon what you think you see. Get along with somebody that knows God and say to them, what do you see in this matter? And they might open your eyes a little bit and say to you, who brought that to your attention? The second thing he would say to him is, do you have a promise? Abraham would say, because he lived and was based upon that, he'd say, I ain't going nowhere where I ain't got a promise when I get there. I mean, we think about what Lot saw. You think about what Abraham saw when God said after Abraham left, said, boy, you come up here. I'm going to show you something. I want you to look to the east. I want you to look to the west, the north, and the south. And every bit of that where the sole of your feet tread, that's yours. You got a title deed from heaven for that. Don't head off in some direction that there is no promise of God in your heart saying, I'll take care of you there. Amen. He said, who pointed you in that direction? Have you got a promise? And then he said, the third thing is, are you pretty sure the Lord will go with you? Is that a place where the Lord will be there with you? Is he going to be pleased with that so much that he's going to journey? I mean, Moses didn't want to go anywhere where God wouldn't go. Abraham didn't want to go anywhere where God wouldn't go. I say to you, if he's going to make this choice based upon his view along the journey with his uncle, he should have seen what God saw. He should have seen what Uncle Abraham saw. Third thing I would say to you, if he's going to make this decision, life-changing, affecting all of his future, I believe he ought to have seen how Sodom saw it. I mean, it wouldn't hurt for him to call one of his servants and say, "Hey, you see that? Here, head down there, and I want you to interview that place and find out what it's all about before I get down there. I want to know how that they are seeing things." And brother, I'm going to tell you, after just a few moments, they'd have to head back to him and say, "Lot, if there's any place on earth you don't want to go, you don't want to go there. They are wicked. They have wicked eyes. They have ungodly eyes. They have immoral eyes. They have corrupt eyes. They have lustful eyes. They have consuming eyes. They have destructive eyes. It is an abominable place." That's what the scriptures tell us about that place. And he's saying to them, he's making this decision, but he don't even know how these, what their lives are like, how they, their philosophy is all about. He don't know anything about it, but he's going to make that move. But when he got down there, he realized that they saw angels as men. They saw saints as sinners. They saw wrong as right and right as wrong. They saw bad as good and good as bad. And he's moving down to that place because he's not considered where he's going. He's just seen it. I say to you, if you're going to make a move along the journeys of going and coming and of life, you need to find out how God sees it. You need to find out how the saints see it. And you need to consider how the sinners are looking at it. I mean, could you imagine an interview down there? They're going to the information center and they said, "You know, it's first time down here, and our master wants to move down here. His name's Lot, and he's got an uncle that knows God." They said, "Well, wait a minute. We don't want none of that down here." I mean, this man's a man of faith. Oh, we don't talk about faith down here. I mean, he's a man that's righteous, and he's a man that is interested in walking with God. They said, "Listen, you're not even allowed to talk like that legally in this place. We don't want anybody down here like here. Get out of here." And they could have went back and said, "Hey, you don't want to go there." And I'm going to tell you what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah is what's coming our way. But let me close it out and say that if you're going to a long life's journey of the goings and comings and the went and came, view things from afar. If Lot's going to do that, he ought to have seen things like Lot was seeing. In other words, Lot should have paused and he should have said, "Are the things that I am seeing keeping me from seeing what I need to see?" Sodom and Gomorrah had blinded him from all the things that he needed to consider. He is so busy, focused, telescopically, so that is beyond, that he thinks he can have a part, that he does not consider looking inside, microscopically. getting in front of a mirror and looking into that mirror and saying to himself, what is it that I really need to see that is beyond what I am seeing? What am I missing here? Let us look on the inside first, children, before we ever look on the outside.
Amen.
Have a correction of our vision to see what we need to see by seeing ourselves as we are.
Amen.
There's several things going on in his life that needs to be seen, but he hasn't seen it.
Amen.
One is pride. If you got pride in your life, it'll blind you to everything else. You ain't looking at anything else right. So how do you know he's proud? Well, here's Abraham who walks with God, who has allowed him the privilege of being able to go with him and to witness everything that God is doing. And when Abraham says unto him, Lot, don't look like we're going, no problem between me and you, it's the herdsman, but what I'm going to do is let you make the decision on where you want to go, and then I'll make the decision on where I need to go. If Lot had been seeing things right, he'd have said, now hold it, Uncle Abe. The only reason why I'm here is because of you. And I'm not going to make a decision first. I'm going to let you make your decision, and then what's left over, I will take it. It is more like the prodigal son in demand standing on the front porch telling his father what he needs to do. He's filled with pride and arrogancy. Therefore, it has blinded him to the decision he's going to make because of the views along the way. Lifted up, should have humbled himself before his Uncle Abe. I sometimes preach on that prodigal son all the way down through there. There's all kinds of conversations. Look who's talking. And I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble if you're the ones doing all the talking. He's walking away from the privileges that he's had with Abraham. All of the bountiful blessings that have been mentioned here this week. The very walk with God has left him in a predictable, inevitable situation. He's a moving off into hell because he ain't seeing things right. But he could have. If he'd have seen him like God sees him, if he'd have seen him like Uncle Abe sees him, if he'd have seen him like that Sodom Gomorrah sees him, if he'd have gotten in the front of the mirror and looked at himself and saw what he needed to see, he'd have never left.
Amen.
Because here's my thought for all of this. You don't want to get to that place that you've been looking at. And have to turn around and say, it ain't looking nothing like what I thought I saw. When it is entirely too late. He has expended all of his energy. He has taken his whole family, his whole life, and went down to this place. And it doesn't look now like what he thought he saw.
Amen.
Man, I don't want to get to life at the end and say, man, this ain't nothing like I thought I saw.
That's right.
So I got good news for you. It don't have to be that way.
Amen.
Because 55 years ago, I was able to see some things.
Amen.
And I went and came and journeyed along the way with a lot of views. And here I stand at Taylorsville Camp Meeting, almost 70 years old. I'm going to tell you something. It's just like what I thought I saw.
Amen. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
It's just like.
Yeah.
Huh? What I thought I saw.
Amen.
precious wife sitting over there. Wow. 70 years. It's just like what I thought I saw. Huh? Standing here preaching. Oh, I mean, it's just like what I thought I saw.
Amen. Amen.
And when I get down to draw my last breath, I want to be able to say, you know what?
Yeah.
That's what I thought I saw.
Amen.
What I'm seeing at 70 years old is what I thought I saw at 14. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't see it like God sees it, you don't see it like the saints see it, you don't get to look at how this world looks at it and how you're seeing it, you're going to end up at the end saying, man, this ain't nothing like I thought I saw. Goings and comings and went and came, and the views along the way to bring you to see what you thought you saw, if you did it right. Let's stand and bow our heads. Our Father, we thank you for this place, these days, and all the wonderful preaching and singing and fellowship food. You have blessed this week.
Yes, you have.
And I know you'll bless tonight. And we anticipate the days ahead. Because we know we're going to be able to see what we thought we saw.